We've all known people who have failed at one thing or another. They have failed in their job or failed in their business, failed in their marriage. Unfortunately, that same thing can happen spiritually to believers in Jesus Christ. We sometimes call it they fell. Christians sin. I know that's a shock to some of you, but Christians do sin. Matter of fact, people that have known the Lord for a long time can sometimes fall. Leaders can fall. Now, what is your response to that? Well, I think sometimes we sit back with a little smug attitude. Well, I wouldn't do that. Or maybe even a judgmental attitude. But perhaps one of the things we ought to do in this kind of a situation is learn from the failure of others. Today I'd like for us to talk about a classic case of failure. But what I want us to do is to learn some things from this particular failure. And frankly, it's rather exciting. So will you turn with me to Mark chapter 14, where I'm going to begin reading with verse 66. Mark chapter 14, verse 66. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you're saying." And he went out to the porch, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little while later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." The second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when I thought about it, he wept. Now, this is a very famous story. Anybody that knows anything at all about the New Testament knows that Peter denied the Lord three times. What I want us to do is just walk through this passage, and then I want to go beyond this passage to what I think is a deeply significant and profound truth here. This passage is simply telling us about three denials of Peter. In the first one, beginning in verse 66, Peter's in the courtyard of the high priest where Jesus is standing on trial before the Sanhedrin. Now, the very fact that he is there is commendable to him. Do you remember earlier in this passage, in verse 50, it says, "Then all forsook him and fled." That is, of the 11 apostles that were still remaining at this point, 10 of them got out of Dodge. When Jesus was arrested, they fled. So the very fact that Peter would come back is commendable. As a matter of fact, he is virtually walking into the lion's den, so to speak. So, he's in the courtyard, and this servant girl sees him and says, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." This is probably a little contemptuous. She's probably speaking with a little contempt in her voice. She didn't just say Jesus, that was Jesus of Nazareth. And Nazareth was this small little backwater town that didn't get much respect. So she's probably doing this with a little ridicule. And then Peter, we are told, denies it, saying, "What?" Verse 68, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And at that point, the rooster crowed for the first time. Translated, what Peter is saying is, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this man. I know nothing. What are you talking about? Now, Jesus, as you know, had predicted that before the crow sounded twice, Peter would deny him three times. So notice carefully. Verse 68 is Peter denying him, and verse 68 says, he went out to the porch and the rooster crowed. That's the first time. Now, very simply, this is Peter denying the Lord. It's Peter's failure, if you will. Actually, this is a climax of a series of failures. If you will recall the story prior to this that we've already looked at, you will remember that Jesus predicted that Peter was going to deny him, and Peter just vehemently opposed that. In other words, he did not believe the Lord when the Lord said, you are going to deny me. He was determined. Remember what he said? I'll die first, but I won't deny you. In his pride, he wanted to argue with the Lord. He even dared to compare himself with the other disciples and affirm that they might fail, but I won't. Perhaps, I don't know, but perhaps. It was his warm feelings he had toward the Lord that convinced him he would not fall. But he did. And part of the reason he did is that he didn't believe what the Lord said. Another possibility, and I think one that comes straight out of the text for sure, is he didn't pray. Remember that whole situation in the Garden of Gethsemane? And Jesus said to Peter and the others, come with me and pray that you not enter into temptation. It's not you pray for me, you pray for yourself. And what did Peter and the others do? They fell asleep. They were sleeping during the prayer meeting. Peter could not stay awake in the Garden of Eden to pray with Jesus, but now this scene we're talking about today is in the middle of the night, and he manages to stay awake at Caiaphas' house to see the result of the trial. Kind of ironic, isn't it? He should have stayed awake when he was asleep, and he should have been asleep when he was staying awake. But the point is, he didn't pray. And then, of course, when confronted with the temptation, he lied. I do not know what you're talking about. I don't know this man. Of course, that was a lie. Now, I'd like to back away from this passage for just a second. We'll come back to it in a minute. But let me make an observation. In the context of Peter's life, he failed, but his failure was not a failure that was without a future. There's a huge difference between failing and being a failure. And that's one of the lessons we need to learn here. Babe Ruth, as every sports fan knows, hit 714 home runs, but he struck out 1,330. Terry Bradshaw led his team to win 4 Super Bowls, but he threw more incomplete passes than 99.9% of the players who ever played the game. Abraham Lincoln is considered by many to be the greatest president in United States history, but he lost 8 elections, failed in business twice, and had a nervous breakdown. Abraham Lincoln failed, but Abraham Lincoln was not a failure. So please note, falling down does not mean that you're a failure who has no future. Failure is not necessarily final. All right, let's go back to the passage for a second. What happens next, we pick up in verse 69. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by. Now, first she spoke directly to Peter. The second time she speaks to the group. And she says, "This is one of them." Verse 70, "And he denied it again. And a little while later, those who stood by said to him, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are Galilean, and your speech shows it.'" Now this verse contains two of his denials. The first is where he simply just denies it. That's the first part of verse 70. A little while later, well, it just says in verse 70, "And he denied it again." So this is the second denial of the Apostle Peter. He denied the Lord twice. Now, he should have learned the first time, right? Especially when the rooster crowed and reminded him of what the Lord said. He learned the hard way, however, that one failure often involves another. One lie never stands alone. You have to back it up with another word of deception. Now, but the thing I want to point out is this. No matter who you are or how long you've been walking with the Lord, you still have the potential of falling because you still have the sin nature. Christians are not perfect. They're just forgiven. Remember that bumper sticker? Now, most of you know this. The Bible teaches Jesus Christ died for our sin and arose from the dead, and that heaven is a gift. If you simply believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died and He arose from the dead, and you trust Him and His payment for sin to get you to heaven, God will give you heaven as a gift. But that doesn't mean you're perfect, because you still have a sin nature. All of us who know the Lord do. So, you know, by the way, some people have dramatic conversions and they stop dramatically committing a sin that they committed all their life, you know? As long as you are breathing, you still have the possibility of going back to that sin. Just because God has given you the gift of eternal life doesn't mean that you can't go back and commit an old sin. There was a little boy selling a lawnmower, and a Baptist preacher came along and wanted to buy it. And he asked him, "Did it run?" And the little boy said, "Yes, sir." So the preacher pulled and pulled on the rope and said, "Son, this thing won't crank." And the boy says, "That's because you got to cuss it." And the preacher said, "Son, I'm a Baptist preacher, and I haven't cursed in 18 years. And the boy said, "Keep pulling, it'll come back to you." True, isn't it? Now, let me tell you something. What I find most fascinating about this story is Peter was so determined that he wouldn't do this. "I'll die first." By the way, did you see all the Super Bowl commercials? I think what Peter did is similar to what happened in one of those commercials. In the 2012 Super Bowl, General Motors ran a commercial about the end of the world. The point was that at the end of the world, only Chevy trucks would be standing and Ford trucks wouldn't make it. Now, what you probably don't know is that Ford, before the Super Bowl, wrote General Motors and asked them not to run the ad. And here is what General Motors said. They wrote back and they said, "At the end of the world, if we're wrong, we will apologize." Now, that was Peter's attitude. "I'm not going to do this. They will, but not me. When the end of the world is comes, I'm still going to be standing. But by the way, and this is my point, bold affirmation of fidelity does not guarantee faithfulness. You can still fall. As a matter of fact, Peter's demonstrates, he illustrates that determination is not the answer. Now you need to put this down. You need to remember this well. You see, I think a lot of Christians think, I've done this before, and I'm not going to do it again. You ever do that? And you think that because you are determined, that's going to help you not do it again. Have you learned nothing from making New Year's resolutions? Determination does not determine success. And the one great illustration of that in the Bible is Peter. Nobody was more determined than he was that he would not do this. He not only does it once, so far he's done it twice. And there's another one coming. So the issue, hear me well. The issue is not making a decision. Did that sink in? The issue is not determination. Say, well, what is the issue? It's dependency. That's what it is. Remember the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Now that's the spiritual lesson you need to learn. It's not determination or decision that makes you successful spiritually. It's dependence on the Lord. Because when I'm weak, then is when I am strong. Remember what the Lord said to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? My grace is sufficient for you. So the issue is not the determination of the human will, it is the dependence on divine grace. It is when you are dependent upon the Lord that you are able to withstand temptation. So what Peter should have done is depend on the grace of God to leave. When that rooster crowed the first time, Peter should have said, I got to get out of here. And he should have depended on the grace of God to get it done. But he didn't. By the way, Romans 13 says, don't make provision of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Remember that verse? All right, Peter's in the courtyard of Caiaphas's house. He's denied the Lord. This is not a good place for him to be, right? So leave Dodge, Peter. Get out of town. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, we've looked at the failure of Peter, and I've suggested there's a series of failures. One author says, we should learn from Peter to pay attention to the word, to watch and pray, and put no confidence in our own strength. And that's the point. Now, having said all that, let me say again, failing does not mean you are a failure who has no future. Failure is not necessarily final. Now let's go back to the passage in Mark chapter 14. Verse 70 tells us that a little later, now Luke tells us it's about an hour later. About an hour later, those standing by said to Peter again, surely you're one of them. Well, you're a Galilean, and your speech shows it. Now, By the way, there is a progression in this passage. First, the girl spoke to Peter. Then she spoke to the crowd that was present. And then the crowd spoke to Peter. And they said, surely you're with him because you're a Galilean. Now they're in Jerusalem. By the way, the Galileans apparently had an accent that was pretty heavy. As a matter of fact, in the first century, a Galilean, because of his dialect and his accent, was not allowed to say the benediction in a synagogue. This might be like somebody from Mississippi going to New England. And they'd spot real quick, you're not from here. Your accent, your dialect, betrays you. So that's what's going on here. Now, verse 71, and he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. Now, there is a progression in the accusation. It gets, the stakes get bigger and bigger. It's the crowd, the whole crowd's now going at him. And his denials demonstrate a progression. First, he was sort of evasive. I don't even know what you're talking about. Then, according to Matthew's account of this, on the second time, he took an oath. Now, in the third case, he's swearing. Many commentators are of the opinion that his swearing was he put himself under oath and said, you know, may God judge me if I'm not telling you the truth. Now that's how strong it got. He's cursing and swearing and says, I'm telling you, I do not know this man. Verse 72 says, and the second time, the rooster crowed. Wow. The Lord had said, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows twice. By the way, by putting all the passages in Matthew, Mark, and Luke together, Bible teachers surmise that this was around 3 a.m. It's the middle of the night. And that's when, according to some, the rooster would crow. The point, though, is that Peter denied the Lord. Now, I said a minute ago I wanted to look at this passage, but I also want to go a little beyond it. I want to back away from it for a second because Luke records this story, and I want to read you a verse that's in Luke's account at this point. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the Lord, how he said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Ever experienced that? When you were growing up, we called it the mother's look. Did you ever experience the mother's look? She didn't have to say a word. She just looked, and you knew. Well, that's what Luke says happened at this point. Only someone has suggested, and I think rightly so, and I quote this person, when I look into the eyes of Jesus as he looked at Peter, I do not see eyes of anger. I see eyes of acceptance. I do not see eyes of bitterness. I see eyes of benevolence. I do not see eyes of criticism. I see eyes of compassion. I do not see eyes of guilt. I see eyes of grace. I do not see eyes of hostility. I see eyes of hope. When Jesus turned and looked at Peter, it was as though Jesus is saying, Peter, I'm disappointed, but I want you to know that just because you have failed doesn't mean that you are a failure. End of quote. According to our text in Mark 14, that made Peter think about it. He thought deeply about what was going on. And having realized what he had done, verse 72 of Mark chapter 14 says, and he wept. He just broke down and wept bitterly. He got it. I have failed. May I make a suggestion? Had he not done that at that point, I suspect he'd have kept going deeper and deeper away from the Lord. But he got it. Took three times and the look of the Lord, but he got it. Spurgeon said, Lord, smite our rocky hearts and make the waters flow. So let me say again, failure does not mean, or falling does not mean that you're a failure who has no future. Failure is not necessarily final, provided you wake up and weep. Now, let me sum this up, and then let me make a couple of observations. The passage is rather straightforward and simple. As the Lord predicted, Peter denied him three times, and he wept bitterly as a result. Now, I'd like to make some observations. The New Testament was written about, the book of Revelation was the last book. It was written in 95 AD. After the New Testament was written, we have, till this day, some writings of other people. One of them is a man named Patmos. Now, there's some scholarly disagreement as to exactly when he wrote. The latest possible date that's given is somewhere around 140 to 150 AD. Some will go to 130, some will go to 125. In teaching a course on church history, I did a little digging into this particular fella, and a guy wrote an article that convinced me that he probably wrote between 95 and 110. In other words, real close to the end of the New Testament. And one of the reasons that convinced me of that is because he says in his writings he knew Philip's daughters. So that puts his writing a lot closer than some, but there are scholars who would say he wrote early. Now, the reason I bring him up is this. What he tells us is that Mark's gospel is nothing other than the preaching material of Peter that was written down. In other words, this story gets incorporated into Mark because it's Peter's preaching, and he is now readily, publicly admitting, I failed. Wow. Let me make another observation. As you've heard me suggest before, as we've been going through the Gospel of Mark, this was written to Christians at Rome. And they were facing things similar to what Peter faced. They were going through a trial, a time of persecution, and they were facing the possibility of denying the Lord. So perhaps this is incorporated to encourage them. But be all that as it may, the point is this. Peter sinned. Peter failed. Peter fell. It's just that simple. He did not believe what the Lord said. He didn't pray. And as a result, he lied. One author has said, we all talk when we should be listening. We argue when we should be obeying. We sleep when we should pray. And we fight when we should submit. Let me go one step further. He didn't just commit a sin. He committed a heinous sin. He denied the Lord. three times. In the Ten Commandments, sin is listed, as you know, and the first four have to do with our sin against God. And then after that comes murder, adultery, and stealing. So what I'm saying to you is, Peter just didn't lie. Peter just didn't do something like commit adultery or even commit murder. Peter denied the Lord. And in the list of top 10, that's at the top. I've scratched my head and tried to think of a way to really put this in perspective. And another fellow helped me. He said this. Imagine a pastor appearing on national television, cursing and swearing and saying, "I don't know Jesus." Can you imagine that happening? That's what happened in this case. But afterwards, he wept bitterly over what he had done. That particular fellow, a pastor, says, "Think about the most horrible sin that you've ever committed. Then list several sins, such as publicly taking God's name in vain, having an abortion, committing adultery, going through a divorce, getting drunk, being addicted to drugs. Should a believer who has committed such sins be forgiven, restored, and pressed into service? And now I come to the greatest lesson of all. Granted, we who know the Lord can fall. Granted, we can fall big time. But here's the great lesson. God restores." If you've got a Bible and you've been following me, I want you to flip the page and look at chapter 16. Jesus is crucified. 3 days later, he is risen from the dead. And the women come to the tomb. And the Lord meets them there. Or at least an angel does. And in chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "Go tell his disciples and Peter." You see that? Singled out Peter. Go tell Peter. Peter, it's okay. The Lord forgives sinning saints. The Lord restores sinning saints, and the Lord uses restored sinning saints. Now, again, I want to put this in a time frame. I want to put it in our perspective. A moment ago, I mentioned that some fellow said, imagine that a pastor's on national television, and then he repented. Let me ask you a question. If he were a candidate to be pastor of your church, would you vote for him? Now, here's the thing that really hit me. I thought that was a great suggestion to put this in perspective. But if you put it in the time frame of Peter's life, the maximum you could stretch this out to is the Lord restored him and used him to win 3,000 people to Christ within 60 days of the denial. Right? I mean, Peter denies the Lord just before the crucifixion. Matter of fact, the next day, the Lord was crucified, and 50 days later was Pentecost, and Peter preached at Pentecost, and 3,000 people got saved. So here's what I want to tell you this morning. Salvation is a gift. It's a free gift. If you trust Jesus Christ, God gives you the gift of eternal life, but you can still sin. And if you come to your spiritual senses, God will even restore you and use you, because God is in the forgiving business. John Maxwell has said, and I quote, "Failing does not mean I'm a failure. It just means I've not yet succeeded. It doesn't mean I've accomplished nothing. It just means I've learned something. It doesn't mean I've been a fool. It just means I had the courage to take a risk. It doesn't mean I'm inferior. It just means I'm not perfect. It doesn't mean I've wasted my time. It just means I have reason to start over again. It doesn't mean I should give up. It means that I should try harder." And I would add, and depend on the Lord. "It doesn't mean that I never make it. It just means that I need more patience. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned me. It just means He has a better idea." End of quote. John Maxwell is a preacher in the 21st century. John Chrysostom was in the 4th century. And here's what he said. "The danger is not that we should fall, but that we should remain on the ground." So, go tell Peter. And Peter. And Peter. Go tell them all, but go tell Peter. I want him to know that I'll forgive him, restore him, and use him. So I say, tell Peter. Peter, though you struck out, get up to bat again. Peter, just because you threw an incompleted pass doesn't mean you sit on the bench. Peter, just because you lost an election doesn't mean that you can't run again. Falling does not mean you're a failure who doesn't have a future. It means that if you come back to the Lord, He will forgive, restore, and use you. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have forgiven us. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Now, Lord, draw us to yourself so that we catch it before the crow sounds twice. Lord, teach us to pray so that we don't get trapped by the crowing of the crow the first time. Lord, give us your grace to teach us that when we're weak, then we're strong. Teach us to depend upon you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.